Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
An Erio's original.
Guys, thank you so much for writing. We're going to start reading more reviews and letters in the coming weeks. But what you can do right now is while you're listening, you can subscribe. It makes all the difference. We hope to make a second season of this show. It will all have to do with downloads. You know how it goes. We are business women, after all.
Indeed.
So subscribe, tell a friend. We can't wait to bring you more episodes. Thanks for everything. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Welcome to Foxy Browns. I'm Priyanka.
I'm Camilla, and this is the podcast navigating beauty and wellness from our perspectives as women of color.
This week, like every week, we're talking stuff and things, tips and tricks, and deconstructing Western beauty standards, and we are joined by special guest, Maggie Simpkins.
Hi.
So Maggie is a remarkably accomplished jewelry designer who specializes in engagement rings. She actually made mine and my husband's wedding bands. She is from Portland, Oregon, and has made jewelry not just for us, but for everyone from Will.i.am to Michelle Obama and her team. No big deal. She is absolutely fantastic, and we're very, very thrilled to have her on the show this week.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We usually start with stuff and things, which is where you talk about like a product or like a service or whatever that you've experienced in the last week or so, whether it's like a lipstick or a massage or like a walk or a fitness thing or anything really that you've been enjoying. So we can start so you have time to think about it.
Sure.
Cam, what's your stuff and thing for this week?
So my new thing this week, it's disgustingly expensive, but here we are. I'm a fancy lady. I don't care.
But once you buy the cheap Latisse, it all evens out.
You're right. You're right.
What is the cheap Latisse you were just telling
us? Care Prost.
Care Prost.
Life hack. It's a major
great.
Life hack.
Great. $15 yeah.
Instead of
150.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is great. As I'm in my pursuit of having, you know, because I have no eyelashes, I'm going to try everything. So yeah, but that's not the thing I bought this week. The thing I bought this week was the New Face microcurrent machine. And yes, it's a little microcurrent massager that you just kind of roll over your face in a series of motions, and it kind of stimulates your facial muscles and gives you a bit of a lift and a boost and, you know, kind of gets the circulation going. I got mine on Dermstore for 30% off. So it should have been about $350. So I got it for like $250. So that feels nice. A little bit better. It's still a lot of money, but okay.
Tis the season.
It is the season.
Black Friday.
That's it. But it's very cute. It's small. You know, it kind of sits on your bathroom counter. And there's also a little app that helps you
cute?
With the...
Does it look cute
yeah,
on your bathroom
it
counter?
Does look okay. cute. Yeah, it's just, yeah. That, it's that, important.
Let's be honest, that matters.
It matters it enormously.
It does. And it's going to bum you out otherwise. You walk yeah. in and it's just like wires.
Yeah. Like, and it's this cute little thing. It sits there and, you know, it looks inviting. I'm like, oh, you. Hi. I'm going to use you and roll you over my face. So it's essentially, there's a little app and it kind of helps guide you through the, you know, what they call these little mini workouts, which are anywhere from like 3 minutes to like a very longer one, which is 15 minutes, which I did a 15 minute the other day whilst I was like sitting in the bathtub and ooh. You apply this gel to your face.
Is that safe? Yeah. Microcurrent bathtub. In the basement.
It's not plugged in when you're using it. It's only plugged in when you're charged. Yeah.
And what if you drop it?
But you just be careful. Just don't be like...
Cam likes to just live life.
Earthquakes can I don't think it's a particularly high current. Okay. It might just like stop my heart for a second. It's fine. Just like... Kidding, I'm kidding. It's fine.
It's a microcurrent, not a macrocurrent.
I think it's probably about the equivalent of like dropping your phone in the bath. Like your iPhone's not gonna end
yeah,
your
like
life.
The vibration. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's fine. So you do it 15 minutes. You kind of rub it on with this gel, and then afterwards, you kind of like rub in the remaining serum. But I noticed the results almost immediately.
What about the next day?
The next day was I still think good.
Okay,
I think still good, but it was more that you know they tell you to take a photo. photo before and afterwards mm-hmm. because you can see more clearly. Ooh. And I could definitely tell that there was like my cheekbones are more highlighted. Mm-hmm. I could see like a little bit more tautness. So yes, I'm only a few days into using it. So I'm looking forward to seeing the longer range results.
How often do you need to use it?
I say it between like 3 times a week to like, 1 to 3 times a week.
So then what's like the upkeep? You have to keep buying the gel and like batter? Like here's how does that work?
So they do have a gel, mm-hmm. Which is vastly expensive. Mm-hmm. It's like $40. Mm-hmm, of course. However, you shouldn't buy that one. Because yeah. when you buy the thing, it comes with a free little thing of the mm-hmm. gel. There is a dupe, which is excellent. It's basically, it's aloe vera gel, which okay. you can get for, instead of $40, it is $6. And yeah, that's one you can use.
Brilliant.
And done.
Yeah.
My thing of the week is something that I've used for many, many, many years, but we've never talked about on the pod, which is my menstrual cup. I know it's not glamorous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, God. Yeah. I mean, I switched over, I don't even know how many years ago, and people thought it was gross. Frankly, they were like, ew. And I was like, I never have to think about it. Yeah. I have like one heavy day now that I have two kids, but like I just pop it in there.
Yeah.
I don't think about it until nighttime. Yeah. Clean it up, pop it back in. It's crazy how easy it is and how terrified people still are of using it.
Yes. I found people are very scared of touching their vaginas, but that's
especially when they're bleeding, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's because I never use like applicator tampons because I just find them incredibly wasteful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, when I say that to people, they're like, oh my God, you touch your vagina. I was like, yes.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Isn't it wild? It's a part of your body.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine who I was just texting, I was coaching her through it. I actually made like a video of how to fold it up and do the whole thing. And she was like, but like your fingers go in there? And I was like, yeah.
And you're like, yeah,
you gotta get it in
imagine,
there.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Your fingers touch your vagina.
Like if you were going to put a retainer in, you would put your fingers in your mouth, right?
Yeah.
So they don't stay in there.
Yeah. I am a big fan. So the cup, I tried a cup.
Yeah.
It's not comfortable for me.
Oh.
But I'm a big fan of Flex Fits and soft cups.
Oh.
So I'm actually, I love the CEO. Her name's Lauren. She's a badass. They're the disposable versions of those.
Okay.
And they're much less, it's a ring and kind of just like a really light bag.
Oh.
And so it's not as present.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They're game changers for me personally. I love them.
Like, I'm going to have to give this right. I did buy a menstrual cup and then I keep forgetting that I bought it.
Yeah.
And again, like getting used to actually doing the fold and put in thing is like, I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And also because I tend to rely so much more on Thinx pants at the moment than anything. I can just kind of get by on those these days. But
that's wonderful.
Yeah. They're pretty good. Mommy. Yeah.
That might be my thing of the week too.
Yeah.
I literally just started my cycle and I think that it is a game changer to have that kind of like accessibility to these new products.
It's so fantastic. What I love about the Thinx pants is this, like, again, not having to put anything inside myself. That it's also, they're incredibly moisture wicking because they just feel very comfortable. Mm-hmm. Also, the high-waisted ones are great for the first couple of days when you do have cramps and it just feels like a very nice warm hug.
Yeah.
But I used to not be like that. Like I had fibroid surgery a few years ago, which changed everything.
Okay.
Because before I used to have like debilitating periods that would just like take me out for like, there would be a day a month where I would basically have to be in bed because my legs were jelly.
You and I are going to have to talk about the fibroid thing because I literally just had a doctor's appointment last week.
Oh my God.
I have a fibroid.
Yeah.
Life changing.
I was like, what's that? What do you mean? What's
going on? Very, very common for women of color.
Very common.
Enormously.
You know what? I have to say, I've been so blown away by our healthcare system since I've had a vagina since I've been a person having sex, it was always you go in, you get checked, you get a pap once a year, right?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you go to the doctor and they're like, oh, no, you don't need a pap for another 3 years. And you're like,
are you sure?
We've changed it to 3 years. And you're like, oh, this is okay. I went in for my checkup 2 months ago and I was like, I think I'd really like a pap. Maybe I'm spotting a little bit. Yeah. And she's like, you're not due for another 5 years. We actually changed it to 5 years. And I'm like, can you just look at my vagina?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't feel safe, right?
Yeah.
And so she totally convinced me, like, well, you're healthy, like you're spotting, but like that's not anything to be. And so then this time over Thanksgiving, I was ovulating, I was at home visiting my mom, and I started spotting. And I'm like, no,
this
isn't. And I had to call them and like demand them to give me like a real pap. And sure enough, they go in with the ultrasound. They're like, oh, yeah, fibroids. And I'm like, And imagine I came back 5 years later. Yeah. What would they look like then?
Exactly.
And why would you talk me out of having my body examined?
That's so upsetting.
It blows my mind.
Yeah. And it's also in a situation where it's just like, look, you're going to charge for it anyway. Just like,
it's like, you're billing my insurance.
Exactly.
It's like,
just do the thing. But yeah, I think there is just a, like having to advocate so much for yourself health-wise is exhausting.
It's sad.
And especially as a non-white woman as well. That your cries are generally not heard as at all. And again, like not being educated as well, that there are certain things that as a non-white woman you are much more likely to have, such as fibroids.
Right.
That should have been something that, you know, maybe someone should have mentioned or thought of.
Yeah.
But
absolutely. We'll talk fibroid health.
Highly recommend it. Great. So life changing. Yeah. But my periods went from 8 days to 3. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I had fibroids before I had my first kid and I was trying and they were like, I remember them looking and saying, oh, but they might go away during pregnancy because everything shifts so much. You just never know. And then I had a baby and they were gone.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah. Cool. It's also weird, like having babies also kind of like sometimes like flushes out cancers as well.
Which is like, interesting. Yeah. If you have that, like, I did not know.
The beginning is any HPV sometimes it'll just like. But it's weird. I don't know.
But do you wonder, I mean, is that because your body is in this like power mode that it's like healing itself? But like one of the things where my brain goes is that like, does the cancer go into your baby? Flushing out this cancer. Like, where does it go? Where is it stored?
I think because there's so much regeneration of like tissue and stuff. That, like a lot of that stuff just kind of literally just gets flushed out. It's pretty weird.
It might go into the baby.
No.
I'm just saying, we'll know in 40 years.
No.
Sorry, guys.
We live in Los Angeles, surrounded by forest fires all the time. Cancer's going somewhere, whether we want it or not.
Oh my God, I don't want to know.
Oh my gosh.
So the week of menstruation is my
beauty. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's talk jewelry.
Let's talk jewelry. We can do that. Maggie, who designed my wedding band, which I'm looking at right now. And,
so beautiful.
Is that I think we talked about before that I never really wanted an actual engagement ring. And so my engagement ring was actually a Damien Hirst painting. And so when it came to doing a wedding band, I feel like, oh, well, this is an opportunity to, have a piece of something that is a little bit more personal and kind of speaks to our relationship. And so, this beautiful ring, which is very evocative of the actual painting itself, and I adore it. How did you even start designing jewelry?
Well, one of the things that I was just thinking when you were saying that is I think what's really fun is the clients that I work with now, a lot of them are non-traditional, a lot of them are outside of the box thinking, and so it's not just that kind of run-of-the-mill thing that you think of when you think of an engagement ring. And so I think that that's probably creatively what I love the most is that I get to work with really outside of the box, fun people. Mm-hmm. And if it's all one of a kind, I'm not doing the same thing over and over and over again. We're constantly trying to figure out how we can kind of push the envelope and create something that's completely unique to them, that kind of tells this really unique story and is maybe kind of quirky and weird underneath or like in hidden elements, but looking down at it, you would never know. It's like, your ring is inspired by a Damien Hirst painting, but it doesn't necessarily always have to be that literal in certain ways. So I think that that's really fun, and that's what I thought of when you were saying that. I have made things my whole life, and so that was just kind of always what I did. Like when kids were watching movies and TV and playing video games, I was making things. I was making paper and I was sewing and I was making jewelry. Mm-hmm. And it was just something that I did. It was something that my mom encouraged and my parents encouraged. And I never really thought any which way about it. It was just something that I did.
Yeah.
And so when I had moved out here and I had dropped out of college.
Nice. We love a college dropout around here.
You were with
me. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like all about it.
I did too much.
Yeah.
I owed a lot of money and I never use any of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I speak Italian. Yeah.
There I always go. Forget that priest speaks Italian.
It's my one skill.
Okay, here you go.
So, sorry, you were in Portland and then you...
I'm from Portland, born and raised, and then I moved out here when I was 18 for college.
Okay.
I came to Loyola Marymount because I didn't get into USC and I knew that I wanted to be in Los Angeles.
And what were you going to study at Loyola?
At the very beginning, it was maybe going to be like public policy or something. Mm-hmm. And then I was really like, no, I want to study business entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And that's when I settled on it. And... I remember ultimately kind of being in these business classes and making fake business plans and like doing a bunch of busy work and just being like, this doesn't make sense. Yeah, like this isn't how I retain information. Like I'll come take a class when I have a business that I want to make a plan for.
Right.
And to have, you know, a $40,000, $50,000 a year education for a piece of paper. As an 18-year-old, I couldn't possibly, like, I felt guilty every day. Like this, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And and then it wasn't fun. Like private school is not fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know that.
I went to school.
So I'm like, this
relate.
Isn't fun and I'm wasting money and it's giving me all types of anxiety.
Oh my God. I will say I went to state school and I had a great time.
Yeah. Like, no, that was, I know. I was like, I got there and I was like, where's the kegs? And everyone's like,
well, everywhere. Everywhere. They're in Ann Arbor.
I'm gonna go back in Portland and party. Yeah. We had more fun in high school. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my. So I kind of had this like baby life crisis where I was just like, So I had been like, I dropped out of Loyola Marymount. I was like doing some generals at Santa Monica College. I was working full time at Nordstrom and I just looked around and I didn't have the words for it at the time other than like, I knew that this wasn't my life.
Right.
Yeah.
This is not my life. Mm-hmm. So I dropped out, I quit my job, and I kind of had this moment where I knew that I needed to just sit with myself in my 19-year-old brain. And so I had reached out to a woman that was one of my, you know, personal shopping clients. And I didn't really know, honestly, at the time what she did. I knew that she had an online store and I knew that every time she came in to shop with me, she would drop $2,000 without looking. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Teach me
this wealth. How do I?
Yeah, I'm like her. Yeah. Help me. So I ended up just writing her an email and being like, hey, I'm no longer with Nordstrom. Also, if you ever need any help, I'm looking for something part-time. If you need help with your online store, you know. And she ended up writing me back immediately and was like, great, come in Tuesday. You got a job.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
What was the store?
Well, she had...
And her name was Ms. Saks Fifth Avenue.
Yeah. Right. She had a small online store. And that's all I knew. And I showed up. And my job was... I didn't know it at the time, but one of the things that she... also did was she had a little bit, like she had a little jewelry, like a fashion jewelry line.
Yeah.
Her best friend had a showroom downtown in the Cooper building. So she would put her jewelry in the showroom, buyers would come in, and she did a lot of private label work.
Okay.
So my first day on the job was quality controlling 2,500 necklaces to be sent to BCBG.
Right.
So I sit down, there was two other people at the time, and we were literally just tugging on these necklaces.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
2,500 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And then that's tagging crazy. 2,500 of them. And then bagging 2,500 of them.
Wow.
So I was like looking around like, okay, I know I said I wanted something really easy, but I might go in the bathroom and like scratch my eyeballs out. Like, this was like a, you know.
Yep.
And I look over and there's this guy sitting at a desk with pliers and he's playing with like the pile of scraps and putting them back together. And I'm like, oh, I do that.
Right.
I do that. Yeah. No. Like, I'm like, no, I do that.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? That's a job. What do you mean? You know? So I remember going home. So like after seven hours, I was like, I have to get out of here. So creatively
charged,
frustrated and so understimulated that I went and spent like my little last $20 on earring hooks, chains, charms, and feathers. And so this was back in like 2008.
Okay.
When feather earrings were just
Oh my God, they were popping.
They were, you know, like you couldn't really find a good pair. So I went home and I probably whipped out like 20 pairs of feather earrings. And I very timidly brought them to work with me. And then I think finally someone was like, you need to show those to, you know, you need to show those to her. And I, you know, I like very timidly kind of like opened up my, and she was like, oh yeah, great. You can design for my line. And I was like,
that was easy.
Okay. So I got the job, started designing, and it was a really funny full circle moment where like, you know, the stuff is in the showroom, you're getting orders and Nordstrom is ordering.
That's so
it was
magic.
Like a really fun full circle moment where whatever my 20-year-old brain needed.
Yeah.
Was like, oh yeah, I can do this.
Oh,
I got this.
Right.
And that's where, I had been so kind of like not sure what the move was for so long that I just kind of was like, I'm getting paid to make stuff.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to keep going. This is cool. This is cool. And it was working.
Yeah.
And I just kind of kept following it. And then that was all I needed, right? For my little brain to be like, I got this. And then I ended up taking a job downtown with diamonds, right? A friend of a friend had a family owned business. And I was like, oh yeah, I do jewelry.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to, let me just
get into the diamond biz.
What do you guys need?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just walked in there. Like I knew what I was doing. And I had no idea. And I learned a whole other side of it. And so it was just literally just my, I use the term self-taught.
Yeah.
Even though what, I don't know. I hate it because I don't think that it gives credit to, I asked a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of trial and error, but it was a lot of taking different jobs and a lot of experimentation, a lot of spending my like little change on like two, like one tool at a time, like trying to, you know,
figure
it out. But it was really, I spent a lot of time exploring different sides of the business to really, really dial in to what exactly it was that that brought me joy and that I was really good at.
Right. And it sounds like you had a good sense of like, this isn't right for me.
Right.
And that like, uh-oh, and your gut was like, no, or like, yes, you know?
That thing is really,
it's so important.
It's really powerful. Yeah. And at the time when I was 19 and called my mom and said, Mom, I don't think I want to go to school anymore. Mm-hmm. She was really disappointed.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't, and she didn't understand at the time, you know, and I felt really guilty.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything other than this feeling inside of me is saying, this isn't for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as a 19-year-old, as a 20-year-old, we're not taught to trust that.
Oh, absolutely. No.
It's like, well, this is not what you're supposed to be doing.
There is a path beyond the path. And
that voice was so strong.
Yeah.
And it's really led me to where I am now at so many different times where I'm like, I got to get out of this. I got to do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing when you can learn to listen to it and trust it.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's so important. And I think about that, like raising a little girl now, how we can instill this stuff in her, because it took me a long time to figure out. I was pre-med, you know, and I had to have a full meltdown. Like I fell apart.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to say, like, I don't think I should be taking biology lab classes all day or organic chemistry or pre-chem or all these classes that I've taken, because I just want to stay in bed all day. And I just ended up staying in bed all day for weeks and really failing out of school because I didn't know how to say that. And I didn't know how to say, this doesn't feel right. I need to do something else.
Yeah.
But that's a skill that, you know, I mean, I think it's not only, by the way, when it comes to stuff for professionally, but even in social situations
completely.
With men, by the way, like, gosh. When you're young and on campus with a bunch of 19-year-olds and a lot of alcohol, like that is so important.
Yeah. I think that has been, it's, I mean, look, when you're starting your own thing, you're starting your own business, you have to learn to say no.
Yeah. Yes.
You have to learn to protect your time and your energy, because if our time is money and all, there was a point when I was working full time and trying to do my own thing, and I was really aware if I went out with my friends the night before and I was hungover the next day, that's my time to build my thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm ripping myself off, you know, and that's never gonna, and you have to weigh those things, you know, and sacrifice.
I had a boss tell me once that, she was like, she supported me in like every step, but she did for like once go, you're so millennial. I'm technically not, but you're so millennial. You can't do anything that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. I was like, nor should you.
No, that's, I can't.
Like, yeah.
Right.
I was like, are you all just tolerating things that you hate? And she was like,
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
Wild. Disgusting.
It's wild.
Can't do it.
And people are like, well, don't they know that they need to do this and that? And like, no, first of all, you've told everyone the world is ending for like 60 years. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do what we want to do.
Right. YOLO.
Right. That's really what it is. It's totally what it is. It's just like, well, if the world is going to like implode tomorrow, then I'm going to do what I want to do.
Right.
Because we only have one
And it's not without hard work.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, I've paid my dues.
Yeah.
You know, you pay your dues, but follow like what feels good and what's authentic. Mm-hmm. For, like, I look at people and it makes me so sad how many people are so mentally stuck doing something that like in situations that they hate.
Yes.
And it makes me really sad.
It makes me sad.
And it's not to say that, you know, everyone needs to love their job. No. And that, you know, for a lot of people, I mean, I think especially for this country, that it is, you know, that your job is part of your identity. And so that, you know, you must do this thing that is, you know, that completes you in all ways. And, you know, it's perfectly fine to have a job that is just your job because your concern is actually your life outside of your job. Yeah. But when it becomes a negative, when it kind of, you know, is something that kind of chips away at your soul and or something that, again, is just anti to that feeling in your stomach, the pit of your chest, that's when,
you know. If your job is actually making you miserable, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a bigger conversation about like teaching young women to trust their guts, I think.
Yeah. Very much. And it is, it's so interesting because like obviously so much of your work, which, you know, is so emotional. Mm-hmm. You are working with couples at this moment in time and often with individuals as well, because sometimes I guess the engagement is a surprise.
Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd just love to know how you like, you know, how you manage that element of it, like how you manage, you know, dealing with someone who is maybe performing a surprise. And so this one piece that they're designing is so incredibly weighted and it means so much. Mm. Yeah. How you're able to kind of mitigate that. Because again, a lot of your work is bedside manner.
Yeah.
A lot of my work is bedside manner. And I do think that I'm a talented designer and all of that stuff. But I also think that one of my strengths in what I do is listening to people and communicating with people. And like, you know, men come to me terrified. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like sometimes, you know, they're, hi, I'm supposed to talk to you.
Right, yes.
And it's like, you don't know if you want to give them a hug, give them a shot of whiskey, come on, sit down. And they're terrified and rightfully so. It's this huge decision. Mm-hmm. Their life is about to change forever. It's a great deal of money. They've never done this before. Yeah. And is she going to like it? And so much of my job is kind of, I mean, so much of my job is being like, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome. And communication.
Yeah.
Just really communicating and expectations and that sort of thing. But I think it's incredibly fun. I always say that my job kind of feels like Christmas.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're planning this, you have this gift, you have this gift, you have, you know, and you're
unveiling.
Right. And so then there's the unveiling for him, which is always incredibly fun because by the end of it, all of the fear, well, the beginning they're terrified. And then once they kind of get over, like, and they trust the vision, then they get super excited, which is always funny because oftentimes they're like, I don't know this jewelry thing. What's the big deal? I don't really, you know. And then they're like, wait. So is the stone going to be, okay, so are there going to be prongs that can we add? And they're like, who doesn't care about jewelry now? You know? So it turns into this excitement. And then at the end, it turns into this like great sense of pride.
Yeah.
Yes. And so what was so scary before, they now have this like thing that they've spent so much time and energy and thought and put so much love into. And now they're really proud to share this with their partner.
Right.
So that's kind of a really fun evolution. Yeah. And then the second Christmas is when she gets it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's kind of always on the, and so that's one of the things that I'm just so, I know like with my work, the emotional side of it, you know, this has been such a crazy time in our world. Right. And I think that like, everything that's been going on has a lot of people really stressed out and feeling really hopeless and feeling really desperate. You know, I know that like my mom is one of them. Mm-hmm. She's just like, you know, people are like, how could you, our world is, and yes. And at the same time, I am surrounded by so much love and so much kind of like hope towards the future on such a daily basis that it's, I feel really grateful that that's kind of this bubble. Right. I'm living in this like constant bubble of love.
Of hopefulness.
Yeah. And so that is really a gift that I think my job gives me.
Also, like, just because the world is ending, if it is, like, that doesn't mean people stop falling in love and wanting to do nice things for each other and like partnering up. Like, it's just not, honor that. Like, what are you supposed to do? We can't pick it every day. Like, we gotta live. Like, that's
the whole point. But also, it's just like, what are we picketing for? Honestly, but that's the thing. It's just like, yes, you know, there is a, you know, we have a lot of stuff to be mad about.
Yeah.
But what is, you know, what is the world that you're trying to save?
Well, and focus on the love side.
Yeah.
You know, not letting, like, the negativity poison your outlook on your day.
That's what it is.
That's
too
what I mean.
It's too easy to go like the world is a bad place and everyone's bad. Right, and then to sit back and like open your field of vision and be like, oh wait, there are many, many good things.
There are bad things happening and there's a lot of love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. I mean, you just told us some very nice stories about some very nice men. Yeah. But you have talked about how the industry is very male.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd love to talk about how that affected kind of your journey.
You know, it's so interesting because it's something that I deal with constantly. Yeah. When it comes to how I present myself, mm-hmm. and the clothes that I wear and the way that I carry myself and, you know, my beauty regimen or my beauty standards. Yeah. And I mean, I work, you know, my clients are mostly men, mm-hmm. and that's cool.
But then on the rest of the world, like, who else is male? Is it the people
who are? So the jewelry, specifically the diamond industry, mm-hmm. and fine jewelry, it's all very male dominated.
Yeah.
It's also just like a mix of cultures, mm-hmm. which is rad.
Yeah.
But also culturally, most of the time, the men are working and the women are at home, mm-hmm. raising the kids. So there aren't a lot of women running shit in those fields. Circles.
Yeah.
And so very early on, I was kind of looked at like,
you're not, you know, a liar.
Well, it's like, I'm a woman of color, like African American, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm very much an outlier because it is so culture. It's so, such a generational thing.
Yes.
So either you were born into the diamond industry or you weren't. Yeah. So I was, there's no part of the diamond industry or the joke that is African American. It doesn't belong to African American, you know,
which is remarkable when most of the actual diamonds are from, you know, black countries.
Right. So I'm absolutely an outlier, but it just kind of, I remember really early on kind of being looked at like, okay, so you're the secretary, and it's like, no. I'm not here to be looked at, mm-hmm. and I'm not here, you know, I'm here to work. And so that really early on informed, you know, my low bun, my jeans, my like blazer, I'm running around. And I remember my boss at the time would be like, you look like a little boy. Like, he would always kind
you're
of
like good.
Yeah. And I was like, actually, that's the point. Yeah. Really, that's the point. If I'm running errands for you all day long, like, I don't want men to talk to me when I'm in the elevator. I don't want men to come. And again, culturally, the thing that, like, the kind of stuff that men are comfortable saying to you, like, mm-hmm. commenting on your, oh, you lost weight. Oh, you gained weight. Oh, you look good. What does that tattoo say that I can hardly see that I know, you know, is this on this, like, kind of really inappropriate part of your, but like, sir.
Yeah.
I don't want you reading the back of mm-hmm. my neck and down my spine.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so that's not for you.
And so it is, and it's interesting to navigate. The men that I, you know, the artisans that I work with are men that are twice my age and have been doing their jobs, mm-hmm. you know, since before I was born. And so navigating, telling them what to do is just a really interesting, you know, you want to be respected. You mm-hmm. want to be viewed as intelligent and not as an object and not as a dumb, you know, little girl. And so navigating that, but also still being, you know, and being firm and getting your things on time and having them done the way you like.
Mm-hmm.
And also being liked, you know, it's just a really, you're constantly being like, hey, I need you to do this. Right. So you're constantly asking people for things. So they need to like you mm-hmm. to want to do your thing and give it to you on time. And then also one of the things that was really hard for me in the beginning that I think one of the reasons why I am putting out quality product is you have to say, no. You need to do this again.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the hardest thing, right? Yeah. I have a really hard time asking for what I want.
Yeah.
When it comes to making my jewelry, mm-hmm. it's not about me, it's about my clients.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to ask all day long.
Yeah.
Because you're putting, you know, it's like if I'm putting my name on this mm-hmm. and if you want me to give this to somebody, it needs to be perfect or it needs to be done to the best of my ability. And so if I know that, you know, mm-hmm. so people don't always want to redo that. So there's a certain kind of finesse that mm-hmm. you need to have with people in order to be like, hey, I actually need you to fix this.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a really strange line to walk.
It's not unlike being on set.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And you're dealing with, you know, in a lot of places that are, you know, on a lot of shows and a lot of movies are very, very male dominated.
Right.
And having to be in control of that set is tricky when you have, you know, men who are older than you.
Right.
And, you know, feel more entitled to the space than being asked to reevaluate their work or redo something by a younger woman of color is not their favorite thing in the world. No, so yeah, having to figure out when to use the hard power and the soft power, that's
it's tricky. And I you know, I think that for most of my 20s, I really was moving with my masculine and thinking that mm-hmm. that's how it needed to get done. Mm-hmm. And like, and really, I got this, you know, and there was no softness.
Yeah.
And I really, as I'm like coming into my 30s, I really want to embrace more of my feminine because I know that that's where the power is, but it still is on a daily basis. It's hard energetically going and fighting the good fight and then coming back and being like, ah, like let me soften now. Yeah. Like let me take my low bun out. And you know, I mean, it's just like all of the things that, you know, I put on my downtown uniform and I go, you know.
But then the one day you wear your hair different or you wear like a dress, they're like, you should wear dresses more often.
Oh no.
Like you should shut your mouth.
We don't wear dresses.
But you know what I mean.
I go like, wearing a blouse and oh, you look so nice. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, thank you. And it's not always, I mean, sometimes it is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And it's not always inappropriate, but the bottom line is like, I'm here to work. I don't want to talk about what I look like.
I just don't
want to talk about it.
They're all wired to think that that's how you make small talk with
a woman.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you want to go, that's not how you make small talk with a woman. Yeah. Like pretend I'm a man.
Yeah. You know? And so sometimes it's easier to just be like, here, I got my sweatshirt. Pretend I'm a man. Yeah. Like I'll do it for you.
Exactly.
I totally get it. And the things you're talking about bring up a bigger conversation, which I always love to go back to because I'm so flummoxed by it, is like, what is likability? Mm-hmm. Because there is a certain amount of like when we have these presidential candidates, like, is she likable? That means, is she without edge? Yeah. Which I think to a lot of people is like preferable,
right?
And easy and unpredictable, and that woman won't laugh at you and that woman won't make you feel bad. Mm-hmm. But likability in a work setting is, like you said, is like it's a kind of charm, you know,
really important.
And it's not about like taking your teeth out. It's about learning how to navigate people and getting from them what you need while making them feel rewarded and motivated to do more for you,
right?
And I had a therapist who called it, who called them process relation. No, process relationships are your personal relationships. And these are, oh gosh, what are they called? Whatever they are. Like, it's about like, it's like engaging with people in a nice way, in a professional way where you go, what do I need from you? How do I get it? And how do I make you give me more?
Right.
And that's what it is. It's cracking that.
Again, it's the other side of the bedside manner.
Yeah.
Right. It's being good to people, but also, I guess,
clear.
Taking care of yourself and having those boundaries while also kind of like reading what people need and want. And some of the people I work with literally just want to be able to complain.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like, okay, I'm going to listen to your complaining for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Even though I would never.
Right. But like, that's part of it, you know? And it's just like, what do you need? Like, so I think that, you know,
women are very good at it.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, so you use ethically sourced materials and stones for all of your pieces.
Yes.
And also that, you know, that was very meaningful to me. And also part of the reason I didn't want an actual diamond. I visited a diamond mine last year and found it absolutely harrowing. And I just was very much left with, there was one man who was in the mine who was digging with a hernia. And when I asked the mine boss whether this man would be seeing a doctor about that, he told me that he couldn't afford the dollar to go to town to go and see the doctor whilst he was digging for diamonds that were going to end up in someone's fabulous jewelry.
Right.
And so for you, like when you use ethically sourced materials and like, you know, A, what does that mean logistically? And A, like what made you arrive at that decision? And always, has that always been like part of your philosophy with making rings?
I think that, I mean, the part of my philosophy, people are important to me, right? Mm. So it's like taking care of my clients is important to me, and like not ripping people off, and like being good to people is important to me. Being good to the people that I work with and paying them well is important to me. And so that doesn't just stop with materials and the way that our earth is treated or the way that people are treated. That doesn't just stop there. I think that you know, being good to people is part of my ethos, or yes, like just who I am as a person. And so that doesn't, it just doesn't, you can't have one part of it be okay and the other part not be okay.
Yes. Yeah. And what does it mean logistically for you?
Logistically, it means, I mean, having been in, I guess, this space for so long, over time you find and make special relationships.
Yes.
And so logistically, it means working with people that I trust.
Yeah.
That I trust that they get their materials where they say they get their materials. And that's logistically what it kind of comes down to.
Yeah. I guess there's not a lot of, you know, transparency in terms of like in knowing where things come from. And so having to kind of place that trust in the individual is so much more important.
Because that's really all you can do at the end of the day. There's not a lot of transparency in the jewelry industry in general. Right. So that was another really interesting thing in kind of being self-taught or not having been born into the industry is no one's here to answer your questions.
Right. Yeah.
Right. No one's here to answer your questions. You're asking a lot of questions and people are giving you half answers. No one's giving you a rule book for it.
Yeah.
And even, I mean, you take jewelry class, they don't teach you how to meet a diamond dealer in your metalsmithing class. Right. Or how to not get ripped off, or, you know, I think that's been, technology is really interesting and it's kind of blowing the lid off of this whole thing because there's so many middlemen, right? Like, oh, what are you looking for? Yeah, I got that. They'll run and get it from someone and then give it to you.
Yeah.
And pass it off as, you know, and that's been so much of the industry is things changing hands and people making quick profits. And like, because it all comes down to, at the end of the day, like your source.
Yes.
What, you know, you come to me looking for something really specific. Mm-hmm. I have to know exactly who to go to find that, to make this ring around what you're looking for. So the deeper my connections run, the deeper my network kind of is, the more equipped I am to source these things instead of kind of getting either ripped off by someone or having some shady kind of source.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh,
that's so, so fascinating. What's the most important piece of jewelry that you own or that has like the most meaning for you?
Oh, well, I wear my mom's engagement ring every day. And that was the first thing that came to mind. But probably the most important piece of jewelry that I own is a brass bracelet that I wear on my left wrist. I'm incredibly sentimental, and I realized that in my journey of making jewelry, because there was a point when it transitioned from me making fashion earrings and and I went out on my own and I was like, what am I gonna, you know, I thought I was gonna focus on costume and fat, you know, and it turned into one of a kind engagement. And because people would ask me like my why, and I always hated that question because I was like, I don't know, I'm getting paid to be creative. What do you mean? What's your why? That's not good enough. You know,
like, no, it's not.
And when I went out on my own, I spent all this time developing this collection. I thought I was gonna, and I really quickly realized that being in a department store and having a collection was not gonna get me out of bed in the morning. It just didn't mean anything to me. It was fun to do it, but it didn't mean anything. And then it wasn't until I had a friend ask me to make an engagement ring, and I had this moment where I gave it to him and he's like fighting back tears. And I saw how transformative that moment was. And it was like, oh, no. This is why I make things. I make heirlooms. I make things that represent this special time and these feelings. It's not about the jewelry, right? It's not about if you have pretty earrings or what. Okay. That was the moment that I realized why my tie to jewelry was so, you know, it's a sentimental thing. So back to your original question.
Yes.
The most important. So I have this bracelet that I wear on my left wrist. My dad, my whole life, was quite eccentric and strange and always walked to the beat of his own drum and was just a really unique man. And as a kid, I was like, you're so weird. I'm so embarrassed. You know, he would drive this like Sirius Land Rover around Portland. And, you know, you could hear him coming from like a block away. Like he was just black man, dreadlocks, all the whole thing. Never wore jewelry, never wore a wedding ring. I would always try and like give him clothes for Chris. He would never wear, he was like so uniquely himself.
Yeah.
So one day when I was like 18 and I was home visiting from college, I was wearing this brass bracelet on my wrist. And we were doing our date, you know, our like out to lunch date. And it was kind of peeking out of my sweatshirt. And he looked at me and he's like, hey, kid, what's that bracelet you got on your wrist? And I like lit up and I was like, this? And I took it off and I handed it to him and he's kind of like examining it and he's like nodding his head like, okay. And I was like, you like it? He's like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, if I gave it to you, would you wear it? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. And so I was like, it was like the most exciting. Yeah. Never in my life had my dad ever worn anything that, you know, and I'm like so sentimental. I'm like, what do you mean you're not wearing that FUBU shirt I tried to give you? He was like, kid, chill. Yeah. You know? So I gave him this bracelet and every time that I would come back to Portland and we would go on our dates, I'd always, you know, scoot up his sleeve and check to see if he was wearing the bracelet. And he always was. Aww. And so he ended up passing in 2012 when I was 23. Aww, and so when the hospital sent me his belongings, they sent me the bracelet. Aww. And I've worn it every day on my wrist for the last 7.5 years.
Wow.
And so that's my most important sentimental piece of jewelry that I have.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a great bracelet.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, I absolutely love it. So it just doesn't come off. And I think that's my favorite. Look, that's my favorite thing about jewelry. And at the end of the day is that you can't wear your favorite shirt every day.
Yeah.
Right. You can't. You'll get holes in it, you know, whatever. And for me, jewelry is just like a representation of a person, time, place, or thing that you can literally hold on your body. You can die with it on.
Yeah.
You know? And you can pass. It's like this touched his flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's not, that's jewelry is like the only thing that you can keep with you that has that kind of, I don't know, wearability, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's my.
I love it.
It's my favorite piece.
Oh my gosh. That's a beautiful story.
So I feel really grateful that I get to make those things for people.
Absolutely. The question for you then is you do solely custom engagement rings, is that?
Not right? solely. Uh-huh. I mean, I think that's what brings me the most joy. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot of clients that will come to me with weird one of a kind ideas that I have a lot of fun doing because it's a new creative idea. Mm-hmm. And I do enjoy the process of making something that's never been made before or making something that's kind of outside of the box. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to like the stuff that I talk about or share, it would be one of a kind kind of engagement stuff.
What are your tips for people who are out like buying jewelry for themselves, whether it's like an heirloom piece or just like an accessory, or I mean, where does one buy from?
Me.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm like, first you have to get engaged and then after that she'll do whatever you want. As long as it's interesting. Yeah, so it better be interesting.
Don't make me make any basic stuff.
Don't bore her.
That's actually a question I have. Have you ever had to make a piece like an engagement ring that you were just like, this is ugly or like
I've made one that this was really early on. I made one that I wasn't really that stoked about aesthetically. They really, really wanted it. And I think now I wouldn't wear a lot of the stuff that I make. I'm really simple.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to, but it's not for me.
Yeah.
Right. So aesthetically, if someone comes to me with an idea that I'm not crazy about, I will make suggestions on how I think that I could improve on it aesthetically. Mm. But I, like I said, it's not for me. Yeah. So maybe I'm not supposed to love everything. But at the end of the day, I know that I'm making the most aesthetically pleasing version of what someone's wanting.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what my job is, is to interpret their ideas and then still create what they want, you know?
Okay. Should we do Rosebud and Thorn?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. So Rosebud and Thorn is a game we play where we go through. It's a game we play with my kid who's 5. It's how we get him to talk to us in like the car at night. And the rose is like a beauty highlight of like the week or the past couple of weeks. The thorn is a beauty low point. Okay. And the bud is something you're looking forward to. Whether it's like beauty, wellness, fitness, anything health, beauty, wellness related. Cam, what was your rose?
My rose for this week is, I love Bar Method. I always forget how hard it is, but it's great. And I always kind of go when there's like a deal and they just, you know, it was like, here's like 2 weeks for like $40. I'm like, yes. And it's great because there's one very close to my house. So I walk down to it. I do this class for an hour. It's incredibly hard, but the change in my body is almost immediate.
Really?
Like even after like a few days, suddenly my triceps are like, hi,
shut up,
we're here. And we were even like, we were in bed the other day and like, you know, I was like lying there next to Doug and he kind of had his arms around me. He was just like, what's going on with your abs? And I'm like, you're right.
Ooh, you're right. Sign me up.
So it's great.
It's so hard.
It's very, very
hard. I hate bar.
And it's for me, it's like
tiny movements.
Yeah. And it's also like, there's such a, the spaces that are just frequented by like, you know, kind of very thin white ladies who just like, who are all they're wearing everywhere. Like enormous diamond engagement rings like the size of their fists.
Yeah. But then you're like, we can't let only the rich white ladies.
Yes.
Right.
Thank
we
you.
We have to take some of that for ourselves.
100%.
And that means hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the inner strength is
and working out with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Never in my life.
You've got to work out with them. You've got to But yeah, so bar method, that's been my highlight of the week. I love it.
My rose, and I've only just come up with it, is how much I'm enjoying my number 6 clogs. Because I put them away like every summer and then every winter I'm like, ooh, my winter Birkenstock. Here we go. So I have them in tan. I get compliments everywhere I go. I'm not a stylish person. I'm like a uniform person.
Same.
And everywhere I go, people are like, your shoes. And I'm like, what? Oh, I'm wearing these like wooden blocks on my feet that people just love. And I'm just glad to have them. They literally go with everything.
Yeah. That's so chic.
I need to check those out because I'm still on my summer Birkenstocks, but with wool socks.
Yes.
Nice.
Which I also
that's
do.
That's a look though.
Which I also that's a do look. When I run to the car, I put them on and I run to the car and then, but the clogs do the same. It's like the same space in your head as the clogs.
It's not a statement for me. My statement is my feet are cold and I needed to slip on something on my feet.
I'm wearing men's UGG slippers right now and these are the most comfortable things in the world.
I've heard
my feet,
great.
My toes feel so warm and caressed and they are joyful and they look ridiculous, but I don't care.
Nothing
they're not
matters.
For you, they're for
they're
me.
They're not for you. My beauty is not for you, period.
What's your
mine
rose
is I've been getting so my nails I've never given a shit about my nails because I'm very hands-on I'm gardening or I'm really rough and if forever I was making things with always so my nails grow but then they always get to a point where they break. So recently I've been getting hard gel which is such a game changer,
isn't it? Just
it's like it almost feels kind of like you have an acrylic but it's not the same like thick gulpy like goopiness as an acrylic. And these are my nails.
Yes. Those are your real nails?
These are my real nails. They're so long I can't even pick up pennies off the table. But I feel like such a woman. I feel so feminine.
There's so something so luxurious about your nails.
Yeah, and I'm constantly showing videos of my hands. Like I send some diamond, like some fat diamond videos with wrecked hands.
Yeah.
Like I should be embarrassed. I'm not. I don't care. I really don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But I have to, and I have kind of bigger hands. And so, I mean, they're fine, but I just feel so feminine and beautiful with these nails.
Yeah.
So that's my hack is this hard gel doesn't allow my nails to break.
So good.
That's smart.
Isn't this
very,
fun?
Very smart.
I mean, I dread writing emails now.
Yeah.
You need to get a stylist.
I know, but
you need to hire someone to write them for you. That's what those nails say.
Honestly,
these nails say,
I don't do anything.
I hired someone to write my emails.
I've never considered hiring assistant more than I have now with these.
When you can't
I'm
use your
not
hands.
Joking. I'm not joking. Like, maybe I really do need to just bite the bullet and get an assistant because
Someone's
gonna write
the emails
too.
Siri. You can't trust Siri.
Sure can't.
My nails are short and stubby because babies, because I gotta change diapers and stuff. But someday.
Yes.
Kim, what's your thorn?
Oh my God.
What's your thorn?
My thorn is like traveling with liquid allowances, which are, in my opinion, actually racist.
At least sexist and listen, also racist.
Like in this essay, I will. but seriously, it's like, okay, with like, you know, you have to, as a non-white woman, you have to travel with all of your own products because hotels don't accommodate
Do you guys have Diva Curl leave-in conditioner? No? Oh, okay.
No.
Coconut oil? Anything? Yeah. No? Edge control? Oh,
no,
all right.
No, just Kiehl's. Yeah. Kiehl's what? That yellow stuff.
That yellow stuff that it will strip every ounce of moisture away from your hair, your body, your skin, and leave you like a raisin. And so it is bullshit. So, you know, you have to travel with all this extra stuff, and then you have to pay a premium to kind of check the bag and the extra weight, and it's absolute bullshit. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being absolutely honest, I think that like a free checked bag or extra liquid allowance should be part of reparations. I think that should be part of the package. Like, let's do it that way. Let's just do it in like small ways that actually work for us on a daily basis.
What's like $30 on top of $25 trillion?
Yes, exactly.
They're like, it's another couple trillion for us to pocket.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. But yeah, so that's very annoying.
Cosine.
My only hack with that is like sometimes I'll have, if I'm going away for a while, is having stuff mailed to where
Amazon.
I'm going. Amazoning it to the hotel that I'm going to, so then it's there, so I don't have to travel with it. But still, it's ball-ache.
My mom freezes food. I wonder if you could.
I love that.
She freezes because everything Indian is like saucy.
Yeah.
And so she just freezes it.
Yeah.
So she freezes it and takes it out in the morning she's traveling, and then it's just a frozen block in her bag.
They're like, ma'am?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it's a solid, I guess. And she's gotten away with it for years. Or they're just like, this crazy lady is doing whatever. I wonder. But the creams probably won't. They wouldn't last. They would separate. It would be terrible. My thorn is, this is not beauty related, but it kind of is because it's affecting my mental health.
Yeah.
The Frozen 2 soundtrack.
I'm so sorry.
Is, I have a 5-year-old boy.
Oh, God.
And he generally like listens to good music, or at least, you know, compromise and listen to music that's pretty good. The Frozen 1 soundtrack I tolerated. Mm-hmm. You know, we missed most of Let It Go. Luckily, he was more into Moana, which is incredible.
Yeah, Moana is a great album.
Incredible. And like wonderful songs written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, a lovely little brown girl at the center. I'm like on board. But it's like Barbie dolls singing in the ice. Okay. And there are like some weird like race. It's like race. They're talking about race. But the soundtrack is terrible. Like, I'm sorry. I hate it. I hate it. There are no bangers. Like, there's not even anything I can
sing. Frozen 2 does not slap.
Single banner. Nothing I can sing. At least like I can sing along to Let It Go. At least that's a nice like vocal workout. It is this awful song. I don't remember what it's called. Into the Unknown, which people are super into. It's terrible.
I'm so sorry. I think about this like every so often, that like the thing that you have to go through as a parent is like having to listen to the same shit again and again and again.
So, like, but now I just say, you know what, sweetie, I need a break. Can we listen to something else?
Yeah.
And then we go back.
What about headphones?
In the car, I mean,
Beats by Dre.
Well, come on, I just want to be involved in his life and like listen. Yeah, I want to listen to what he's listening to. And then he goes, "Do you like this song? Which version do you like more?" And I'm like, "Oh, I like both of them." And I just pretend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But here I'm going to complain.
No, honey, I hate this.
Oh, no, yeah. I know I can't. I can
fuck
never
Elsa.
Say that.
I'm like just.
Anyway, that's my thorn. How about you?
No, guys.
You don't have one? My son says that sometimes too. It's so cute. He goes, "I think it was pretty great."
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I don't know. My life is good.
Yeah.
If I have to be honest, I'm too busy trying to make a million rings before Christmas ends.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I literally
That's
don't
your thorn.
Know.
That's your thorn.
Yeah. Talk to me in 2 weeks. I'll find something to complain about. But right now, I don't even have the time to think about anything else.
Oh, that's a wonderful thorn. What's your bed, Camilla? What are you looking forward to?
So just disgusting because I have no eyelashes. I just purchased some Latisse formula from this company online called Apostrophe. And you have a consultation with a doctor online. It's not a consultation. I never spoke to anyone. You just fill out a form and they're like, cool, it's a consultation.
Hilarious.
And then they just mailed me some liquid the other day, which I need to apply to my eyelashes and we'll see if it works.
60 weeks.
Yeah, apparently. But, you know, if I go blind and can't write anymore because I, you know, because of Latisse, just know that I looked wonderful while
They'll
doing
be fine. I think they just make your eyes a little dry is what I remember.
Oh, really?
A little bit. For me, I think it made my eyes a little dry.
I think if you're fine using electronics in the bathtub because you're that careful, you'll be fine with Latisse.
Yeah. You're right.
You're careful. Right. I'm not worried about you at all.
But what was the company that you had said that, so I just paid like $100 for this, and you've told me that there is a company that gets it for $10, so I'm livid.
I have been lash obsessed since I've been wearing makeup.
Your lashes are resplendent.
No, they're extensions.
Okay,
they're because wonderful. I'm obsessed.
You have to give us the name of the person who used extensions mm-hmm. as
yeah.
well.
Okay, so she's in Koreatown. She's amazing.
Ooh.
I'm lash obsessed, right? Mm-hmm. So the moment that I could find any type of products that would make them grow, I've tried all mm-hmm. of those serums and blah, 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 blah. So that includes Latisse. Mm-hmm. But life hack, Latisse was invented from glaucoma medicine. It was on accident. Mm-hmm. They like realized that all of their mm-hmm. patients had extremely long lashes mm-hmm. and that the medicine essentially prolongs the lash life cycle because yeah. we all have like our lash cycles are like 30 to 45 days. Okay. They fall out, you grow new ones.
I see.
So what the Latisse does is it prolongs the life cycle so that wow. they stay in longer and grow. Told you I was obsessed.
Oh my God.
So anyways, when they figure this out. So anyways, it's a generic drug yeah. for glaucoma. But right. so, but the way that the industry works is then mm-hmm. they then rebranded it and packaged it as this cosmetic thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now they charge like $150 for it. A generic, the same formula mm-hmm. only costs $10.
And what's it called?
But you need to get, it's called Careprost.
Okay.
Careprost. Mm-hmm. But you need to either have a prescription for it or order it online from another country.
Okay.
So the bottles are like $10 each. Shipping is $15. You just right. stock up and buy 3, 4, 5, yeah. 6 at a time.
Smart.
But wow. don't pay full price.
Send a line.
It's just a brand. It's just a brand.
Of course.
But yeah. that's what is mind blowing. You're like, what? Medicine is a yeah. brand? It's like, well, yes, yeah. yes, yes.
You'll have to give us the link to where you buy yours.
I don't know. Just Google Careprost.
Yeah.
Figure Great, it out.
But yeah. I love it.
My bud is, I have like a few deadlines this week, which I'm not thrilled about. They're making me nauseous. Mm-hmm. But at the end of this week, if I make all my deadlines, I'm taking a month off.
Yay.
Kind of. Still going to do the podcast. Of course. I'm taking a month off from like other work. And I've kind of decided what I want my day to be.
Okay.
I'm going to be mostly off social media. Right. Like I'm deleting the apps from my phones.
Good for you.
And I'm going to walk. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to read. I'm going to cook.
Mm.
I'm going to spend time with my kids. Is there anything else?
Like maybe a face mask.
Yeah.
Maybe baths. Maybe
yeah.
Just some like
lots of baths.
Yeah.
Just like something like that every day that feels a little decadent.
Good yeah. for you.
And I'm going to do that for a month.
Good for you.
Yay.
It's also my birthday.
Ooh, yeah. Happy birthday.
It's my birthday day after tomorrow.
Wow. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's very exciting.
Just thrilling.
She says she's gripping her forehead.
I know. I just have like a you look great for 40 going in my head, oh which my I God. Shouldn't be worried about. But I don't know. We're
you look,
all.
You look great for 40.
Thank you. We're all programmed wrong. I realize yes. this. I have yes. to like undo
all of it.
My bones hurt. I don't know what's going on. Anyway.
What are you looking forward to?
Same. So I have so many projects that I'm working on at the moment, trying to get finished for this holiday. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to giving myself time to actually turn my brain off and just relax. Mm-hmm. I would love to be somewhere warm for New Year's. Yeah. So that is kind of on my priority list, mm-hmm. but really just turning off and taking care of myself. And I don't mm-hmm. know, that's not anything we really touched on too much, but like so much of my lesson, you know, in running my own business and working for myself is prioritizing the self, you know, self-care buzzword. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different things that looks like self-care.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's saying no and mm-hmm. whatever, but making those things a priority just as much as, you know, my work stuff is a priority and how taking care of myself is just as important mm-hmm. because I am the only person that's going to take care of my business. And if I'm not taking care of myself, if I'm not well, then my business isn't well. Mm-hmm. If I'm not healthy, then my mm-hmm. business isn't healthy.
Yes.
And my mental health, my physical health, all of it needs to be prioritized just as much as anything, you know, income related. So I do my best year round to balance these things as best as possible. And I think like holidays are crazy. And so I just need a little bit extra self-love.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm really looking forward to is like the last couple weeks of the month, just turning off mm-hmm. and like turning in and like taking care of myself.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
Yeah.
Nailed it. I love it. Thank you so much for coming and hanging
Thank
out
you
with
for
us.
Me.
Is there anything you want to shout out? Anything you want to promote? Anything
you want
to plug?
Where can people find you online?
You can find me. I have a website, but I think that, You can find me on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I really post a lot of my work on Instagram. I post some of the behind the scenes. It's just easy to share there.
Yeah, right.
My website just has kind of a breakdown of my process, mm-hmm. my creative process, and how to kind of get a custom piece going. But I share a lot of, yeah. I feel like Instagram is the new online portfolio.
Oh, yeah.
True.
It's Maggie Simpkins, mm-hmm. but my name doesn't have an E on it. So it's Maggi Simpkins, Simpkins.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye.
For show notes, including links to the products, services, people, and causes mentioned on this episode, you can subscribe to our official newsletter, Stuff and Things, through the link in our show notes or at foxybrownspod.com. See you next week.
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.